Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Freed on Business. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. We've got a great show. Our first show, the first part of the show, is going to be about our technology and building your virtual network so you can be more effective in our ever-evolving business community. In the second half of the show, we're going to be on with Becca Carlson. She and I are going to talk about different things that I'm doing in the economy right now to reposition myself to take advantage the opportunities that are opportunities available today, and we're going to talk about how to address them today on Freed on Business. Andreas, why don't you welcome our guests to the show?
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure to be back for our monthly Freed on Tech, Freed on Business meets technology. Today, we're joined by two very special near and dear guests, friends of mine and colleagues, and real estate specialist, grandfather of technology adoption pioneers, John Riley and Saul Klein. Founder of Realtown and president of Realty Times, really men who need no introduction, as if you're in real estate, especially residentially, you've seen them at every conference or at every MLS and different association nationwide. John and Saul, welcome. And colleagues.
Thanks, Andre. Great to be here. Great to be with you. Spend a little time with you talking about some of our things.
Hey, Andreas, as we say at 6 o'clock in the morning in Hawaii, aloha.
Aloha.
Great to be here.
I was excited to bring you guys on, and I know this is something we talk about often, but data and what's happening with data. Everybody's now at home. So, Saul, what is your thoughts, and why is data so important, especially now more than ever? And what would you say us as real estate practitioners should be doing today with our data?
So Alvin Toffler said in Power Shift, if you read that book back in the 90s, information is the currency of the 21st century, right? Information is the currency of the 21st century. And data is information. And today with the technologies and AI and the ability to crunch lots of data, amazing things are taking place. So data, information, a lot of information, even data you don't think maybe is valuable when mashed up with other data becomes valuable. So when you look at all these technology plays in the marketplace, and you look at the real estate money that's flowing into real estate, under all of it is data and data collection. It all has to be consistent and comply with this developing body of law, the CCPA, John Riley, and the GDPR, these privacy issues. But data is being collected. You know it. You know that with all of the social media tools that you use and when you're online, it seems like there's an intelligence that knows you like, and absolutely there is, and it's a collection of data. And in the real estate space, people in real estate generate what I call the bait other data, and that's properties for sale, because everybody wants to know, be it residential or commercial, anything about property, everybody's interested in real estate, and they will go and look at it, and they will give up personal information to get information about things they're interested in. And so that very basic fundamental that draws all the eyeballs, it draws people to Zillow and Realtor.com and Trulia and all, where there's real people who aren't even interested in buying real. What draws them there? Real estate data. Then what happens is behavior data can be tracked underneath it, and that behavioral data has so much value, and the treasure troves are being put together by companies that collect this behavioral data under the data that gets them there in the first place. And then you got to think from a real estate professional's perspective, they're providing the ability for other companies to earn billions of dollars. What is it that they're providing that allows other entities to be billion-dollar entities? And the answer in this is the data. So data is very important to a lot of people, and the generators and creators and people who are very knowledgeable of data in particular geographic areas in which they hang out and which they transact business they have access to data other people don't have. But when they put it into databases and then it becomes available to others, others monetize. So as we look into the future, we need to be thinking about the value of the data that you work with, that you collect as somebody in the real estate business, and how can that be repositioned, repurposed in the future because it has value. But we don't think about it that way, right? We think about it as just a byproduct almost.
So us sharing our thoughts, our market knowledge, you know, they come to us as a broker in an area, as the lender, as the preeminent player. I know certain things going on in zoning and financing in my area that it will get done. I bring it online and then it's available for others. I'm not really thinking about it. You're right. Zero Collaborative helps you think about it. Shameless plug on my end because we help you hold it. But then what? Then it moves through a transaction. And you're saying, I think you're talking about human futures where they're actually taking all that data and creating a digital version of us that's then sold. This is when they buy. This is why they buy.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that until you just brought it up. But really what's happened is there are profiles of us all over the internet held by different entities. And those profiles have value.
Right.
And those profiles and information in those profiles within the laws, they're evolving at this point, are monetized.
But didn't
and you yet. See, you and I see the end result. We see that when we go from one device to another, an ad of something we're interested in follows us.
Yes.
Right. So all this data is collected and then it's being utilized. And an entry point for collection is somebody who's in the real estate business because real estate is real and part of everyone's life. John Riley, you look like you were going to say something.
Oh, I was just gonna say the data has become an asset. An important asset, you know, in your business. And what we'd like to say is we use the PCM. Your job is it has to be protected so that there's no privacy, you know, concerns and issues. Security is a very important thing. It has to be controlled. You have to maintain control of it. And I think that there's some people that feel in the residential space early on, we kind of lost control and it got taken away from us. So you have to control it. And the last one in PCM is you have to find ways to monetize it. And that's where the focus is in today.
So what you're saying is the lesson learned in residential was, wait a minute, my data has value. What's in my head has value.
And I think that was the lesson. That was the lesson some of us, right? And then other people took that and ran with it. And created site, took the data. The trade-off was we're going to advertise. We're going to show your property so people see them. You're going to get maybe buyers for your property. You might get leads. So you provide that info and we'll put it up there. And there were no data rules. There were no rules that said, well, when people come to that site, there's data dropped there. What and can you build it? There were things, derivative works that could be derived from the data. And initially, when in the residential space, when multiple list services provided that data to the to Realtor.com and then to the other portals as popped up, the first generation portals, you know, HomeSeek, HomeAdvisor, Homes.com, and then second generation portals, Zillow and Trulia, that data was transmitted with no underlying data rules, which basically said, you the entity, you can, here's the data. Put it up there, and we, the industry, what we took for that, what we got back was the value was supposedly the advertising value, right? That was the, and actually when John and I were working early on to create first data contracts, which started to look at what happens to this data, what can you do, what can't you do, and it wasn't even thought of, 2010, you know, people weren't even thinking about it, so it was, you were letting your data go and your data being information about what's for sale. But even beyond what's for sale, information about the property, be it for sale or not. Right? So people started developing profiles, these companies' profiles of properties, where they were for sale or not, start to accumulate data them and then start to accumulate behavioral data. And you can trust that there's value in all of that for internal use and for external use. What got the people to their sites? In the first place, the data that the residential real estate industry provided to them. You know, really, it should be in reverse. If you're going to make billions of dollars off of all this data, There shouldn't be a fee to belong to in multiple list service, actually, if you think about it, because you're providing that data that's then going to be taken out by other entities and monetized, and they're going to create billion-dollar companies. So I think the end result is good that this data is out there. And at the same time, people have to look at it and realize there's more value than they think. And then as a practitioner, and you ask about the practitioner, I think the practitioner gathering all of the information they can about the properties that they're, you know, in there, whatever they're working, inside and outside, keep that in a database that has value. And over time, it has more value. We used to recommend that people start taking pictures of houses in your neighborhood. You might not think they're worth anything, but 10 years from now, somebody might want them. 20 years from now, somebody might want them. So you start to accumulate and build that data because, as John Riley said, that data becomes an asset. And so these big companies, they are sitting on all this data, huge asset.
Yeah, but data is one thing. Making it into information that people can use is something else. And just for the record, the picture behind me is probably 20 years old, and you can't see that stuff anymore. It's all obliterated by huge related deals up there. So I take those pictures. I love them.
Well, and the people that believe that they can use that data, they're the ones that pay the people that own the data. They can build it into something that they believe it. Right, will then generate revenue for them. So there's a number of steps here from a practice perspective. As a real estate person, somebody who, where the center of your business is the real estate and your product knowledge is real estate, then part of that is to start to accumulate a database. And it doesn't matter if somebody else has that data. You're going to accumulate data that other people don't have because you're the boots on the street.
Well, at this point, let's bring on Olivia to talk about that, because Olivia is generating a whole bunch of data here and she's been using it. And I think that it'd integrate with a lot of the different platforms you're talking about. Olivia is joining us. Olivia Ramos, the founder of DeepLox. Welcome to the show, Olivia.
Thank you for having me. Hi, everybody. Pleasure to be on this panel.
So, you know, you took data that's readily available and then you applied your algorithms to it, your artificial intelligence stuff, to process the information, the data, to create information. How are you doing that? And can that overlay on other types of information to make it even more useful? And that's sort of a lead in for Andreas.
Yes. So we're both on the data collection side and on the data optimization or activation side. We're combining, integrating zoning data with construction data, with market data, and generating the 3D models based on the zoning, but 3D models that would be optimal for a desired return on cost, for example. So by combining disparate data sets, we're able to see what project would have the best result from an investment perspective. So providing a platform that allows anyone to do this, we are using that platform. Somebody has a very nice bird in their house. We're using that platform to collect all the data from all the projects created in the platform and put it in a series of machine learning models that then gives everybody else better data. So instead of continuing to buy data, we're taking data from thousands of projects created all over the United States and in 80 different countries. And we're using all that data to generate better data at the property level instead of at the market level. And that's the goal with the data collection side and the machine learning side.
So John, yesterday you showed me your, we'll call it hotspot map. I know that Olivia has a similar type of a thing. How would those interact? Because I really think that's what we're talking about is a collaborative thing.
That's right. It's all about working together, collaboration, just as the industry always has. Now so must the technology. These data silos, desperate data, desolate data that John and Saul are talking about collecting can now come together. And my site on Siri Collaborative through Zip Analyzer, we now provide over 11 economic indicators in real time, job growth, employment. So a macro view of, wait a minute, should I be investing in that area? Then you transition over to DeepLox, and it should be, well, what am I building in that area because I've identified that this area is stable? Better yet, it's going to recover faster. And these are all things that none of us would have ever thought of 10 years ago, unless you were there talking about it, Saul. You might have been. I don't know. When they started collecting.
We were.
Well, I went on your site yesterday and worked with you, and we looked at the quote unquote hot map in my neighborhood, and it was pretty darn good. It took me right to an area where I like that's really not overly prospected, but is beginning to. And then I could go in, let's say, with Olivia's stuff and really decide that, yes, here I can build that. And you go, well, who would ever use that? I went out in the field with it with one of my major developer, national developers, stock market developer client. We called Olivia, and he just got all excited about it. Olivia, it's because he's locked in his house. That's why.
You think about what Olivia does, and it's about in labor to that data to enrich it and make it more valuable to people. And right, and that's it. So it's about the data collection, but it's then enriching it with different business, right? And it is, that's what's happening. And it's creating a product that is got value to people that we never thought of before. Actually, we thought of it, but it took a while for the technologies to develop and the computing power to come and for people to even accept the concepts, the socialization of ideas. But, you know, Olivia's on it. That's exactly what happens. And they'll monetize, able to figure out ways that data can be useful to others.
Now, John, what do you think about all this? You've been quietly sitting up there in the corner on the Zoom thing. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, as far as using data goes, I'm concerned about things such as whether there's been it's permission based. You know, if you're using consumer data, you have to be concerned about the privacy laws of that. And but as far as finding ways to monetize that data, I think Saul mentioned one that I think is evident, since a lot of these companies have been using the data and none of the money has gone back to the agents. One way to handle it is, if they're taking the MLS data, they should be paying the MLS for that, which in turn could reduce MLS fees and return to the brokers and agents who are providing that data.
Actually working with a group that's doing something like that right now. What they'll do is they'll put your property on the MLS for free, if you're a developer, but they want to get the property insurance and the title insurance work out of it. So it appears as though there's a discount on the commission to the buyer. The developer doesn't really have an issue because they're not paying the referral fee to anybody. And what do they care who does the title and the property insurance? So it's sort of a win-win for everybody. I saw Saul kind of nodded and liked that. What do you think about that, Saul?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting approach. And the way that the people who generate and put labor into the data so that it can be used by others, there ought to be a way and a flow, and there is, and distributed databases part of this conversation as well, right? So that people can be rewarded for the value that they add as this data is taken and used, and sometimes to the benefit of others, right?
What I want to do right now, you like that concept. We'll have you on with the guy when we put him on the show then. Remind me of that, Andreas. We'll do that next tech show. Remind me, we'll put the guy on with Saul, and we'll have Saul interview him and poke holes. I think it's going to be great. Hey, listen, if you don't mind, we'll take a break right here. We'll toss it to Reagan. Reagan's going to run a couple of the ads, and then we'll be right back with some more great information that people can put to work right now today to help make their life better. Right back after Reagan takes us for a ride. Reagan, are you there? Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain. Love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Get your motor running.
Head out on the high. Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you. Be bold.
Be different.
Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. I'm the founder of Sandstone Realty Advisors. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why would you do that? Well, I help families all across South Florida execute their real estate plans. I recently helped one family in downtown Miami sell their land to one of the big national developers. I helped another client up in Fort Lauderdale. He needed to liquefy his portfolio. We did that for him in less than a month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
If I leave here tomorrow.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we're doing our tech show today. We've got our co-host for tech, Andre Seni. Andre's got some great guests today. Andre, I'm going to flip it to you to introduce him.
Once again, thank you. And joining us today, we have John Riley and Saul Klein, foremost experts, boots on the ground when it comes to tech innovation and data in residential real estate. Also, the founder and president of Realty Times, Realtown Publications. John and Saul, welcome back. Give a short little add-on intro if you feel you need to. And I also want to point out Olivia Ramos, also with us, our AI expert. Looking forward to continuing our talk on data. Go ahead.
Thanks, Andrew. Right.
So, Saul, tell us, we were just talking about some interesting ways to use data, repurpose the data, resell the data. Olivia does that in her business. I know Andres does it too. You're the founder of all this stuff. What are we going to see in the future? Where are we going from here?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question, because until about a month ago, I thought I had a pretty good idea. things have changed dramatically. And so while a lot of my thoughts about the technology and where this is going are that has changed, I still, at this point in time, I think I'm like all of us. I think that there's a major world event that's taking place. And, you know, we've lived through major world events before, and some of us more major world events than others. And we have seen money poured into societies and economies to get them going. And we've seen tragedy and things change. You just go back to 9/11, and right after 9, and we were traveling a lot, talking about data and technology, doing a lot of travel. And within a very short period of time, the whole world changed, and they created the TSA. You know, lots of different things take place. So what we've got is an event that I think is going to change a lot of things. And maybe not, but oftentimes necessity, if you're familiar with the book Crossing the Chasm, and you're familiar with a lot of technology, don't make it because they're good with the early adopters and the innovators, but then they're not ready for the early market. And a lot of technologies have been around. They've been waiting. Like I tell John Riley, we talk about the I don't have to be there now technologies. Those are going to be the technologies that I think light up the world. Technologies where I don't have to be there now. And so that maybe changes the way property is shown. It changes some of the, and these tools have been around for a while. So you're going to see more tools, or are people in 3, 4, 5 months, whatever, are they going to go to normal? So in my mind, we think, where is this all going? Well, I had my ideas, but what is going to happen to mass transit? That was a great idea. And that changed the way that downtowns were designed and built. And so is human nature, our habits going to change that might get in the way or cloud what we thought a few weeks ago might be the direction of technology application in the space.
Now, I know that people are still going to look for new ideas and new deals, but they need to come together in a place. Andres, how is Creco AI helping all of that happen? And then I want to get John's opinion on that as well.
Absolutely. So Creco AI, CreCollaborative.com, it's in the name. We help real estate professionals collaborate. They connect to each other, they connect to deals, and they connect to data. So we are providing, especially during this crisis, unlimited technical support out to the industry professionals, general support, while we also provide our services, helping them identify properties, helping them connect to each other, helping them find services that they may have thought they didn't need because they were going to a conference or going here. Social, physical distancing, because it's not social distancing, it's physical arm's length distancing is what we're, the world we live in today. So we've got to adapt and evolve. And that's what we're here to help the industry do. I've always said the real estate industry cannot change, will not change. Technology either gets in the way or accelerates the way. But today the world has changed. People are at home. People have to be at home. But business still has to get done. Real estate is one of the necessary businesses as declared by the government and for good reason. So we have to keep moving forward.
I think we're figuring it out. Most capital is on pause for 30 to 60 days unless it was fully executing through the pipeline. I've got a couple of those. So, you know, a couple are on hold and, you know, that's what's going on. John, what do you think is the new applications that we're going to see technology have here?
Well, I think we're going to see more virtualization of the real estate transaction, removal of the friction. And I think we're motivated now to find ways where we can conduct business without actually having to be present any longer. For example, you know, like with one of the big friction items sometimes was having documents notarized. And now states are accepting the fact that you can have a virtual notarization process. You know, and we've got the e-signatures. So we'll see more of that. Transactions will be able to be closed faster once we get through the present situation. So virtualization of the transaction is a key thing.
Well, I think you're really touching on blockchain a little bit as well. Olivia, let's talk to you a little bit about that. You know, AI is involved in learning and growing, and you're applying that to cities all across the world. Is blockchain a way that's going to really move us forward? And is that something we're working with within the context of your product?
So blockchain is definitely a future implementation and an add-on to our technology. Once we get into smart contracts, being able to invest in a development project as an individual, as a non-accredited investor. And that's something that we're seeing already. But I think that's something that's going to grow a lot, being able to invest in real estate projects remotely. And as a non-credited investor. And I think blockchain and blockchain contracts in particular are going to be instrumental in that. But I agree with John in the sense that everything is going to speed up. And with deep blocks, having all the information in one place, the zoning, the construction costs, the market data, and being able to make quicker decisions and filter through a lot of opportunities, that there will be opportunities in this time. And being able to speed up that process is super important. We had a developer in our office the last time we had a physical space. That was like 3 weeks ago. And they did something with our platform in 30 seconds that it took them 3 weeks to do. And it cost them a little bit over $20,000 to do with the help of architects and attorneys. And they did it with our software in 30 seconds. And it was free because we were doing a demo. So that's the kind of things that we're seeing in the future. And for these times that everybody's looking for the next thing, we're providing free education, one-on-one virtual education to all the agents that either want to learn more about commercial transactions or commercial agents that just want to step up their game and understand how to look at zoning and how to have an intuition for construction costs and how to optimize the return of a project. So that's kind of where we're at.
And it sounds like that was remote. They can do it remotely. That
yes.
Project instead of spending the time and the money. So that's fantastic, which is awesome.
So it sounds to me like what's going to happen is that there will be a suite of services that come together. People will need to find them. It's very difficult to find these different ideas out there in the ether of the internet. And I guess that's sort of where you come along, Andreas, is that you're a repository for a lot of these different technologies, and people can come together and collaborate with them on your site.
That's right. Siri Collaborative is a service first. We're here to service the industry, to help advise them on what technology will solve their needs, then connect those technologies and bring them forward.
I'd like to take a minute for everybody to talk about where we can find them, because we're running out of time for this segment. So let's start with you. If people want to get more information from you or connect directly with you, how would they do that?
My email address is Saul, S-A-U-L, at Saul Klein, S-A-U-L-K-L-E-I-N.com, SaulKlein.com. You can also find me on Realty Times, RealtyTimesNews.com, RealtyTimesNews.com, and Realtown.com.
Oh, that's awesome. John, how about you? Where can we find yourself?
I'm John at Realtown.com. And like Saul, I'm executive editor of Realty Times, so you can also find us there.
Awesome. Olivia, how can people get more information on Deep Locks? It sounds like something that Saul and John are going to want to learn more about.
Oh, I would love to get your feedback on what we've built. We are at deeplocks.com. There's a link to try free. There's a whole open demo that we've opened up to the public, so anyone can model. They can look at data, they can export PDFs for free. And so would love your input, of course, on what we've built so far.
It's tremendous. I love having it on my phone and walking around and being the smartest guy on the street. Andreas, how do people get together with you and collaborate? And I think we need to do a whole other show about me integrating and getting on and then looking back and seeing how it worked. Maybe that's what we do next month on the tech show.
Absolutely. To reach us, you go to CREcollaborative.com. Or you can reach us by phone, 203-307-2242. So that's CREcollaborative.com or 203-307-2242. Our support team is standing by to walk you through, help you through, and connect you to each other and to the technology.
So thanks. Yeah, so I've been filling that stuff out, integrating it, loading up my stuff. We're going to have another call on that tomorrow. Can you send me an invite for that tomorrow morning?
It'll be in your box before we hang up this call.
Awesome. I'm very excited. I want to thank everybody for being on the show today. I'm really excited about my virtual background. Looks really cool. Tells a story, too. Doesn't it, Saul? All right. Listen, we'll be back. We're going to have Becca Carlson joining the show. Olivia, John, Saul, you can stay with us if you want. We're going to talk about creating the right positive attitude to move forward. I'm going to talk about the things I say to everybody when they call me and they're feeling down. Oh, you can't see it, but I'm holding up the paper. There it is. So we've got great stuff, and I never take notes, and I made notes for this. So we're going to have a great second half. Beck is smiling on her little icon here, but she's even more fun and all effervescent. So we're going to have a great show. Anybody who wants to stick with us is more than welcome. Reagan, take the show back. Bring me back again. Let's sell some cars, and then let's help people feel good and give them some direction to move forward with. Reagan, it's all yours. Oh, there's smiling.